I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rent room. We let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Red Room.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
Wakanda.
Forever.
God, I love that shit. Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that.
And shit like that.
You hear her.
Yes.
Lisa Bolakaja.
Yes.
The Street Nerdist.
The Street Nerdist.
A.K.A.
A.K.A. your Afro-Indigenous auntie.
The Black Gidget of Mission Beach.
The Black Gidget of Mission Beach.
Sophista Ratchet.
The Dago Dalai Lama.
Sophista Ratchet.
Sophista Ratchet. The Dago Dalai Lama.
You gotta do a shirt on Sophista Ratchet. That's funny as fuck.
Although funny. The slang has passed, we've moved on from Ratchet. Right. We have to keep up, you know, with our slang and our terminology.
True.
But yes, tis I. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that voice we hear is who?
Chris Derrick.
Uh-huh.
From the writing and directing team, Derrick Brothers. What's
yes.
up, Chris?
Yes.
I'm just, you know what? I always find it funny that Ratchet is just the Ebonics version of the word wretched.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just
we can't pronounce shit.
I know.
No, we don't know how to pronounce things.
Is we that just like it to have some stank on it, right?
We add some extra
drop the
stuff
w,
to it.
Drop the W. Drop the W. Drop the W. Just like you should drop the W in sword.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like how we just make up our own hashtags. You know, a lot of the black girl nerds and all the black nerds on Twitter, like, we just make up our own hashtags. For example, the new TV show, the family superhero show, Black Lightning, mm-hmm. that just debuted. I heard got some pretty strong numbers. I didn't watch it myself.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I'm not a big superhero fan, like the Arrow and stuff like that. I'll watch stuff on, like, in the movies and stuff like that. But I heard it made some really great numbers, and they really talking about they're glad it's not. I think it's the Arrow universe. Like, they kind of,
it's part of that. Yeah,
it's part of that, but it kind of has its own thing. It's kind of like, to me, it's like the Black Panther version of the Marvel universe, right, where it's part of a universe, but because it's so distinct and it has its own look, and it's you know, created by, you know, it's run by showrunners by black people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I haven't seen it. I want to see it. A friend of mine named Kelly Goff is one of the writers.
Oh, right,
on
okay.
So mm-hmm. maybe I'll ask you if she was a couple
of
show.
Sure.
You know, it's a weird show. It's supposed to be a Fox show. Mm-hmm. Fox didn't know what he was going to do. And then they brought it over to CW, mm-hmm. like no one could fit within the Arrowverse or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm very curious to see it. You know, it's not something I'd expect from Mara Brock Akil, but I'm excited to see that she's doing it, because
right.
I think that's what makes sometimes those shows, those like high-end genre shows interesting, is that people who are behind it aren't like these complete geeks, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Because I think, yeah, the one thing I was talking about is, like, it's Black Lightning is the hashtag for the show, but I think black people, the black people version of it, I think we call it Get Lit. Yeah.
Get Lit.
Hashtag Get Lit. You know, so it's like, you know, black people have a way of putting their own spin on it and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But, like, the a lot of the things I've been saying is that a lot of positive response to it. So we'll see what happens with it.
Okay.
You know, I may check it out a little bit later. I may have to, like, binge watch it, because now I can't just watch one show and then wait another week. Like, there's so much content, and my time is very precious, and I'm very particular about what I watch. So if I need to watch a show, I need to watch a bunch of episodes
I understand.
At one time.
I'm at a stage, and now, Chris, you don't like it. You actually prefer to... You don't like to binge that much, right?
I don't even watch the full episode of
the show.
He
doesn't have time to binge. That's the problem.
I don't even watch... You know what? Like I was watching part of Berlin Station last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, like... I just watched 20 minutes of it.
Because
I watched 20 minutes the night before. And then I'm going to watch another 5 minutes, the finale tonight, because I really don't have time. And it's mm-hmm. just like, you know, like... I mean, I'm not having to watch it, so...
Like, I watched The Chi... You know, just to, you know, support Lena.
Did you watch the free when they showed the free episode for
free? I did. It was good.
I didn't. I waited until it came. I wanted to put the numbers up. But and then I watched episode two. But I'm realizing because I'm binging more shows that I'm having a problem waiting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to wait.
Right. So by the time it comes out a week later, I've been in binge mode with the other shows I'm watching on Netflix. So I'm like, I might have to wait another week before I watch. You know what I mean?
It's starting to listen.
Oh, you want to store it up.
Yeah.
You know, there is a new Steven Soderbergh show that comes out tomorrow. Huh. It's called Mosaic.
Oh, right. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
It's on HBO, but you can watch it for free on your phone if you download the Mosaic app. And it's interesting because it's a choose-your-own-adventure show. I think there's like 10 episodes.
So you can play with
and,
it.
And you watch the first episode. You got to watch that one first to know what the story is. It's a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. But all their 8 or 9 or 10, you can watch in any order that you
want. There was a Korean TV show that did that one time.
And what's cool about it is that is like he was talking about it, and it's like the episodes sometimes cover the same event, but told from a different character's point of view of how they got to that event. So, if the act twist is what means something to the three characters, you'll see it how they all got to that point. You know,
is it like a whodunit in some ways? Or
it's supposed totally it's like I think Sharon Stone's in it. It's like some murder thing. I mean, like I was gonna watch it this morning, but I got caught up in something else. So, but I don't know. It's interesting to see like that storytelling is that at least film storytelling is that. Is becoming that flexible, you know. I mean, I something you see a lot in like comics or particularly in prose, where you know they'll carve the same event from different points of view, or you just jump into, a character's point of view. That's the thing that's interesting about like the Game of Thrones books. You know, like each chapter is told from the point of view of a character. So unlike in the show, where it's just like blending, jumping back and forth, wherever, scene to scene. In the books, it was like, you know, like the chapter like will be called like Tyrion, you know, and then it will jump, and there's everything that he does that, you know, which I think is interesting for her, like how they had to combine the. You know, to do that blend in terms of how they did that adaptation.
Right.
But that's what that is.
Cool. So if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in. What we got today, Lisa?
So we got two topics, two people. Two black women.
Go ahead.
So, but the main thing I want to talk about is two things that just popped off within the last week or so. And we're talking about a lot of shakeup that's going on in Hollywood. But the main thing I want to talk about right now to start us off is two things. One, Tracee Ellis Ross. Recently, there was some talk about Tracee Ellis Ross possibly doing less episodes on Black-ish because she doesn't get the same pay as Anthony Anderson. Mm-hmm. And she was saying if she doesn't get the same looking into not getting to pay equity, that she may do less episodes so she can go find work elsewhere to make up for the salary discrepancy.
Why are we even having this conversation?
And the thing about it is...
In the sense of this bullshit.
Listen. Tracee Ellis Ross was a star of Girlfriends, one of the number one TV shows for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm still mad they didn't give him a seventh episode to wrap some things up. One of the top shows when it came out. Mm-hmm. Funny comedian. Nominated. I mean, you know, just... brilliant actress and comedian. Mm-hmm. For her not to be, I mean, I know Anthony Anderson is like the co-star, but to me, Tracy's the star.
Okay.
Well, so
I haven't watched it in a couple of
years.
I mean,
look, here's the thing.
And I think they both make the show, along with the kids, make it happen. And so she needs to be paid the same way.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but when, I think it was the second season of Modern Family or something like that, or there was an issue where they did that, where... Right. What's his name? Ed Bundy guy.
I was thinking Ed too.
Ed Bundy.
Neil? What the fuck is his name?
Ed O'Neill. So there was a problem. I think that they all went on strike to try to get equal money.
Right.
We're not strike, but they all kind of like whatever they weren't going to.
They bonded together.
They bonded together, and what's his name was making considerably more. I think he was making
because he was one of the producers.
Yeah, and I think he was making like $300,000 per episode. I think that they were making $100,000, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I'm with them. I'm going to make sure they all get their pay." Right. And there was something, you know, they did that with Seinfeld that one time where they were trying to get a million. I mean, I just think it's kind of like. you know, it's one thing to say if a show is like, you know, something, say something like Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not even that show, because that's two people's show. I mean, there's someone who is like, who is number one on the call sheet for a reason.
Right.
Maybe that person does get their money, you know.
Well, but, Ed is number one on the call sheet on Modern Family.
Yeah, so, you yeah. know, so that's why he gets the money.
Right.
But because he's earned that, because of how he is. But, you know, mm-hmm. but and everyone else, I mean, doesn't. I mean, I understand like why they don't want to pay everyone the same amount of money on a certain level, because it's like, because we want to keep the budget down. Right. But if the main reason why you're not paying everyone any money is because, well, it's a woman and we can get away with not paying her any money, that's where it becomes criminal.
Well,
that's
she's a Golden Globe winner,
mm-hmm.
Emmy nominated mm-hmm. several times.
Right.
You not paying her? I mean, just as my humble opinion, she probably should be getting paid more than him.
Well, it's interesting. I was over at my mentor's house the other day on Saturday, yesterday. We were talking about this, and I said, so as a writer or as an actor, because we were talking about some actor who just won an Emmy, and now their fee's going up. Their quote is now up. And I said, so it's the same thing for a writer, director, or whatever. He said, yeah, if you win, you know, he said, even if you're nominated,
yeah.
it goes up. So that's why I'm like a little surprised when you say that. Because that's your ammunition you use. You know what I mean?
The right actors. I mean,
I'm a little surprised.
I mean, the right reps. Right.
Fifth season.
For what? Blackish is on season 5 right now?
Yeah.
And really? That's already 5 seasons in?
Yeah. Yes.
Some of the writers are probably making more money than they are. I mean, that's crazy.
She'll do less episodes. She got to leave part of her job. This is like in the real world. I'm doing the same job this motherfucker doing.
Right. I'm here every day.
I'm here every day.
Right.
Doing the same lines, doing the same amount of work,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Blackish, it's the whole family unit that makes that show. It's not just it's not the Anthony Anderson show. I'm sorry if some of y'all think that.
He may be in most of the A stories, but still, you need the support.
Yes. Well, see, it'd be different if the show was called the Anthony Anderson show.
Thank you.
Right? Then
it's called Blackish, and everybody on that show apparently is black. And Tracy Ellis,
how much money?
Because her dad's.
The last I read.
How much money
is her quote? Is her quote on
They didn't say it on here.
The last I saw. She got $75,000. He got $100,000. This is like 2 years ago that I recall.
How much?
Which I thought was bullshit.
How much is Anthony? How much is
That's not his producer fee too, though.
How much is Lawrence Fishburne making? Because he's a producer on it too, isn't he?
Yep. I don't know.
We don't know.
Once again,
we can look it up.
Once again,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's something to the
not the Anthony Anderson show,
right?
And all I'm saying is I come up to work and we doing the same thing. And the fact that I got to go get another part-time job to make up the income, it's some bullshit. And black people, we got to do better.
Right.
Okay? This is a black creative show.
Right.
Black folk, black women who carry the world for most of you motherfuckers out here.
And I'm here to tell you, they have the money on that
network. They have the money.
It's ABC, which means it's Disney. They got all that Star Wars money coming in, and the theme parks, and they got money. Right.
They shouldn't be making under $450,000 in a week. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother issue.
On a hit show?
That's a whole nother issue.
The nigga tax. Because they not getting their money.
Can you explain, for those of you who are offended by the term, sometimes we just got to be real and call it what it is. So if you're very sensitive about the N-word, cover your ears.
So, all right. So
break it down, Chris.
This is just something that my dad used to tell me all the time. I mean, you always hear about how As black people, you grow up and your parents say to you, you have to be twice as good to even be considered. Right. But the thing that my dad used to say is, you have to be twice as good to be paid half as much because they're going to hit you with the
naked
ass.
That was the rule. Got to work twice as hard to get paid half as much. That was the rule.
Because they're going to hit you for. And the thing is, that's a black man talking. Mm-hmm. Knowing that as a woman, you still got to take the female tax, which is 15% off of. So as a black woman, you're probably going to be getting paid 30-45% less
mm-hmm.
on what the equivalent white male is getting.
Right.
So when you look at, you know, if she's getting $75,000 on that show, I mean, that's a hit show. I mean, you think that someone like, you know, I bet you, what's her name? You know, like Amy Poehler, when she did Parks and Rec, she'll be getting $300,000 or more.
Easily, I'm sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And like from season one on.
Without even consideration.
The first season.
Right.
So it's just, you know, and that happens across the board. I mean, there was an article See, we should put this in the show notes.
Okay. you know anybody who knows how to do that?
I forgot how to do that. I forgot how to do that. But there was articles sometime last year. I remember reading it. And I put it on my Facebook page. Or maybe I wanted to. I think it was in like Black Enterprise or something like that, or Essence. And it just kind of broke down like how on Empire, how Terrence Howard and Taraji were getting so little money compared to like, you know, like shows that are making like half their ratings and stuff like that on other networks.
I think they were getting like 125, 150, something low.
It was even over 200K on a show that kind of like revived Fox, revived even like people were saying that broadcast TV was dead.
Yeah.
Right. You know, was basically, you know, on life support.
Right. Season two, they should have gave him $1 million.
And this shit comes in easily. Right. Because making that kind of money, because all the record sales, all that, and they get no money.
Right.
And that's a show that if you're going to complain and say it doesn't sell overseas and blah, blah, blah. I saw German ads for Empire. From TVN Germany. Now that's the place you might think you're not going to play no black show, but they had the ads. They're online. They're on YouTube.
Right.
You can go see them, and it's all like, you know, it's all dubbed in German. They're talking. I was like, huh, that's not how Terrence Howard talks. Right. But I just was like, you know, because I was like,
you know what I'm saying, man.
Because there's no swag like that in German. But I just was like, that's so weird. But this show was selling and playing there, so I know they're making money.
Now let's talk about something important. So you brought up that fee. So let's say 150. Let's round it off to there. 150. Now an episode. So this is basically about a week. That's your fee. $150,000 American dollars for all the listeners out there. Now, some people are out there going, I haven't even made that in 3 years, right? They get that in a week. Now, we're talking about an industry. People think you're making that for a year. Mm. We're talking about 4 or 6 months out of a year, maybe 9, depending on if it's a network show, where you're making that type of money. And sometimes you're not on every episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people always assume that amount of money is like, well, they're making so much money. Why do they need any more money? But if I am a producer and I can afford to pay you $150, and then if I can afford to pay him $500, how much am I making?
Mm-hmm.
How much is the network making?
Really? Exactly. Well, that's where I'm really.
Exactly. How much is the agency making off the agency fee for just packaging it? Didn't you really just package it?
You already know.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I mean, people look at it like in a certain way where they're like, that's a lot of money, but it's like, you know, let's just say you're making $200 an episode. So you probably lost what? You've lost.
Yeah, break it down.
Like $20,000 for your agent, $20,000 for your manager, $10,000 for your attorney. So that's 25. But that's
right.
But that's
not including your accountant. That's most people at that level.
Yeah, that's $50,000 plus your accountant. So maybe that's another like $2,000. So now you're down to $60,000 just on your fees, and then you still got to get taxed at the high tax bracket of like 40%. 40%. And the 40% is at your full money. So it's like the $200,000 at 40% means that I need 80 from you, but I'm only taking home 140 because I had to pay off those other people. Mm-hmm. So now it's 80 at 140, so it's only 60 an episode. It's still a lot of fucking money.
It's
the kind of money that people make, you know,
they're
people
make it in a year.
10% of the population makes that kind of money anymore. But then again, it's like, on a certain level, they're part of a product that, like a car.
That's why they have to, they have to incorporate themselves.
And do all that kind of stuff, you know? So, I mean, it's definitely a very, it's why people want to come out here and make this kind of money and do that kind of stuff. And you might think it's undeserved because all they're doing is entertaining us. Yeah. But it's like, we live in the Trump Reich.
Right.
I think we need entertainment.
Yes, we do. We need our mind to be relaxed and enjoyment and have some laughter and some joy. Just to make it through the day.
So what's your feeling about all this?
My feeling is it's bullshit. And I think it's disrespectful to Tracee Ellis Ross. Mm-hmm. I think Monique. That, and we'll get to Monique in a minute, but the value is that you got a Golden Globe winner. Mm-hmm. You got a woman who's consistently been nominated for Emmys pretty much every year.
Right.
Okay. She's one of those rare. I mean, think of it.
And when there's no other black women, she's the one.
Yeah.
You know what
think
I mean?
Of any other. I'm not talking about regular comedians that are professional comedians. I'm talking about comedic actresses. And Monique is one of those too, right. But it's like, I'm talking about right now, that's popping right now. There's no other black women like that. True. And compare her to any other white woman who's on a comedic show. I think that it's disrespectful to Tracee Ellis Ross. I think they don't value her. It's that nigga tax. Yep. It's the idea that, you know, she's just so talented. And I just feel like Diana Ross needs to get in the car and come run up on some mugs and get your baby her money. But right. It's just like, it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I just think when we're comparing talent and people, I think they should be equally paid. You know?
Well, because, you know, it's like the thing about Tracee Ellis Ross is, you know, like you said, like she didn't come from the stand up world. And I think that
she's a trained.
Yeah.
She ain't like Diana Ross's daughter and I'm Diana Ross's daughter. No, right. She went to Brown University. Mm-hmm. This woman has trained theater.
She did the theater.
She did the whole work.
She has to, right. But I'm saying, but in terms of like, you know, I mean, who's like that who didn't do stand up? What's her name? Julie Louise Dreyfus, like, didn't do stand up.
Right.
And it's like those actresses. To survive that world without the skin that you build up to be successful comedian, it's just, and to be able to act as strong as she has, have a career as long as she has, it's just like.
Is you think it's that improv background helps though?
Well, no. It does a lot. But I'm saying for her not to have that the stand up background,
okay.
It makes it. And to have the career longevity is really a testament to like. How well she works off of other actors, like she, like the value she provides, she's not being, the people aren't considering it.
Right.
You know, it's very hard to be that person because you're not the kind of person who's like, she's not like a Robin Williams type, or not like a Monique who's just like pop, I throw out jokes because that's how they are.
Right.
You know,
she's character,
right. And I mean, if you look at the way she works in shows. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, like she, I'm not sure she grounds the show, but she gives it this kind of like center that makes it really work. And it's like, and that's like why I think a lot of the shows, like Girlfriends and in Blackish, is why those shows work the way they are, because these other people get to be the flights of fancy and then to bring it down so that we, the audience, can really identify with the narrative more. You need someone like her who's, but she got to ride with the flights of fancy and make it work for them because if it doesn't, I mean, Anthony Anderson's doing this wild ass shit and the person he's playing off of can't respond to that, doesn't work as well. Right. So, you know, she's getting played, unfortunately.
Jumping from that, moving on to Monique.
Mm-hmm.
Similar type of situation. So here's the thing. A couple days ago, Monique called for a boycott of Netflix for the pay disparity. I'm going to read you exactly. This is from Variety. Okay. So Monique is calling for a boycott of Netflix, alleging that she's not getting offered the same pay as white and male comedians. And I quote from Monique, on the Variety article, "I am asking that you stand with me and boycott Netflix for gender bias and color bias," she said in a video posted on Instagram. "I was offered $500,000 deal last week to do a comedy special. However, Amy Schumer was offered $11 million, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle $20 million. Schumer renegotiated the deal." That's another quote from her. Schumer renegotiated the deal, ultimately landing $13 million. And Schumer said, "I shouldn't get what the men are getting because they're legends, but I should get more." And Netflix agreed, said Monique. "When we asked Netflix to explain the difference, why the money was so different, they said, we believe that's what Monique will bring. Wow. We said, what about my resume? They said, we don't go off resumes. Those who don't know Monique's resume, she's an Oscar-winning actress. Okay. Then we asked them, what was it about Amy Schumer? And they said, well, she sold out Madison Square Garden twice and she had a big movie of the summer. Okay, Amy Schumer's big movie of the summer, it flopped. That was that one with
Goldie Hawn?
With Goldie Hawn.
Right.
Okay. Raise your hand in the audience if you saw that movie.
Nope.
Listen to the crickets.
Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense to me, but she's saying that Netflix says that we don't go off a resume.
Right.
I mean,
who doesn't go off a resume?
And they said, and then
that's your quote.
Right. And then Netflix said, by the way, we believe Monique is a legend too. Why shouldn't I get what the legends are getting? She concluded, please stand with me on this boycott. First of all, I will riff off of what, because the first thing that came to my head was, first of all, you know.
Did Amy say that she thinks she's a legend?
No. Amy Schumer says she doesn't think that. This is Amy Schumer was talking about herself. She says she doesn't think she's a legend that level of a Dave Chappelle, but she believes her value in this is not what they were first negotiating for. So I think it was Rodimus Prime on Twitter. Somebody said the same thing I was thinking too. It's like, first of all, Monique, and I love me some Monique. I got a chance to meet her years ago in person. She's the most genuine, real person I ever met. Loving.
Genuine.
Mm-hmm. She's the most genuine person, and like just a real, like she's a real true spit. That's this is a rock. Right. Okay. Like, I don't say that about anybody, you know, because most people you meet in Hollywood who've been around in the game and stuff, and you're like, but she was so welcoming. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time we went to go see her when she was doing, she had her talk show on BET. And I remember we were down in Atlanta teaching with OBS, teaching a class, and I went down.
I remember y'all.
Yeah. And one of our OBS friends used to work on her show, The Parkers. And so when we were there, it was so funny because we were sitting there and then, hey, Terry, shout out to Terry. And Terry was like, hey, Monique. And Monique, like in the middle of her show, was like, hey, Terry. And was like, you know, and as soon as the show was over, she came over, gave all of us a hug, was just talking. Meanwhile, she just got done doing the show. We just there to say hi and sneak out because, you know, we just hanging out. Sat there and talked with us, introduced us to her son, was just real genuine, just nice. Seeing some black women who are writers. She was just real like, hey, sisters, keep doing what you're doing. This, you know, we doing this thing. So when this happened, I was like, Monique, you know, with Netflix, everybody shares passwords, right? Most of us. And most people ain't not going to give up Netflix. Right. I know people call for boycotts of things like that. But I do understand and stand with her in terms of her $500,000. She's worth more than $500,000.
Oh, yeah.
She's not asking that you pay her the level of a Dave Chappelle and any other guys. And my argument is I've seen some of the shows that that Netflix has on there in terms of their quote-unquote comedians. Right. Some of them motherfuckers ain't funny, male or female. Some of them shows just like, I guess y'all just need some content. And through these things, it was cheap, throw it up there.
I just watched that new Cat Williams. He killed it.
You know what? I watched that. I was chuckling. Now, I will say that he kind of rehashed some things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was happy to see Cat looking better.
Yes, than usual.
Had me. I have to admit, there were times when I was like dying laughing. And it was like, he's wherever he was is going through his thing. I think he's coming back strong.
Did you watch Dave Chappelle's new one?
I watched the second one. I didn't watch the first one.
First one's hilarious. Second one's funny. Yeah. Really funny.
But I liked it. I just had a little issue with the transgender.
No, that's the reason why I didn't watch the first one. Because people was like, Lisa, be careful because this is what happened. So I kind of like, I said, let me watch the second one.
Let me wait. I just had a little issue. I didn't have a major issue. Just a little issue. The thing is, look. Now, I didn't see the one before where I guess he really went on a transgender people, and that's why he got a lot of shit. But I just felt like, you know, it's what he's the thing about being stand up. I mean, stand up, it's like he says, it's like, actually, who said this? Wait a minute. You know, they have the comedians and coffee and getting
caught. Oh, yeah, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, they have it on Netflix, and I was watching a bunch of those. Who's the guy from Cleveland, the comedian who was in Kings of Comedy?
Oh,
he has a show. He's a talk
show.
Steve Harvey was saying that, you know, he got a lot of shit sometimes, he said, and everything like that. People would give him a lot of shit. And he was like, look, as a comedian, you don't know that you've crossed the line until the audience tells you that you crossed the line.
Right.
And I think that that's just what happened with Chappelle both times. I think he just, I mean, it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's rough. And he made one little comment that I'm very curious about. But that's the thing about being a comedian, that you say shit that, maybe you shouldn't say.
No,
but
I think
you gotta say it. But you gotta say it.
It's
but
just
you
like
gotta
anything
say it.
Else. You have a right to say what you want to say. But expect a clapback. Expect a response. Hopefully you learn from that. And some people, you know, decide, I don't care what people think, and I'm going to keep talking that. And, you know, and like I said, there was a lot of people who came to me and said, hey, have you watched it yet? I said, no. And they were like, kind of this. I said, well, I'll just look at the second one and see the second one. The second one's okay. I think eventually I'll go back and watch the first
one. You should watch it. I mean, I still support him, even though, you know, I don't think he's like all anti-LGBT.
And I think,
he's not.
Yeah, and I think we got to give space for people to change and grow and learn. Like, hopefully he got the message, and then maybe he'll be like, okay. But like I said, people can say what they want. Just understand that, you know, some people going to come back at you and say some things. And that's totally fine. It was kind of like when the Cat Williams thing. Mm-hmm. To tag off of there before we get back to Monique. Okay. You know, I was reading the reviews of the Cat Williams thing, and the irony was that I think there was like, at the time I watched it, I think Saturday, there were like 23 reviews, and I had time.
I think I watched it.
And so I went and read all the reviews.
Really?
And most of the review people, it was ridiculous. You could tell they were just like, white people were in their feelings, or they're just trying to start some stuff. Because they were like, we don't like the fact that he was talking political stuff in Trump. And this isn't funny. So I was just going through flagging everybody. This isn't appropriate. And basically, you had to push the button like, inappropriate, and they say, what's the reason why? I put down, this is not a review. And so I went through every single person who just wanted to talk about him, saying, oh, he's a racist, he's a blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I got time today.
Where did he get he did a whole spiel on how beautiful it is that everybody's
just
in there.
It's
right
just
now.
Trumpian people bullshit. Just going through, had some time to troll. And
black
I was like,
people aren't racist
I have some
because,
time,
because they don't exercising power. Too. They don't have power to exercise to
but
change
the stuff
someone's
he did,
life.
But the stuff he did in the stand-up wasn't real. He was like calling out everybody, like, hey, where are my people at? Where are my And he said, where are my, he even said, my Filipino people.
Right.
And the Filipino people was like, hey, I'm like, represent all the Pinoys, come on, represent Filipino people out of the house. And like
did you
everybody.
Watch that
one
yet, Chris?
No, I didn't. I mean, hilarious. No. I mean, you know, look, I mean, I just saw the thing for it the other night because my brother.
I mean, it just popped up on
Friday
or something.
Yeah, like it just came out. I mean, there's legit, the only real, true, legit criticism that people had, and I kind of disagree with, but people have their thing, was when he was talking about Jacksonville. Like the first 10 minutes was him talking about Jacksonville. If you know anything about Cat Williams, whatever city he goes to, and I've seen him twice live.
Jacksonville, Florida?
Huh?
Jacksonville,
yeah,
Florida.
Florida. Anywhere he goes.
That's where he was camping, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Cat will go to your city. Usually he'll go there like a couple days ahead of time. He goes out and hangs out with the people.
Right.
He learns about where your spots are, where you want to eat. He learns about where the hoods are. Right. He learns everything there's about it. And what he does is when he's doing that, what he's doing is letting you know that, you're his family.
He's taking it in.
He's letting you know, I know where you guys come from. Mm-hmm. And he's recognizing the audience. And it's a form of respect for him to say, I
totally bought that.
I am in your town. Because the way the audience reacted, when he says, when you go over here and blah, blah, blah.
They were going
and they
crazy.
Were going off because they knew like, okay, he really did spend some time and get to know. And he was naming streets, naming places. When he said the one part about, some of these streets are so hardcore, they sound like TV shows. And so he said the name of it. And the people who came from that area, they were jumping up. Mm-hmm. So if you know anything about his stand-up, that's part of his, I mean, some of the other specials he's had, they probably cut those parts out. But usually that's how when you
it
go
was
to
a
show,
great way to start the show.
When you go to any of his shows, he always does it. He gets to know your city, your people. He goes out and talks to the people. And when he does a show, he's letting you know he knows who you are. So those of you who were criticizing, the first 10 minutes, he was kind of like pandering to the audience. Bitch, yeah, they the one who paid.
Duh.
They paid. Okay.
Don't rock stars go,
and guess
hey,
what?
Cleveland, yeah, listen, what's the difference?
Listen, and listen, guess what? It's Netflix, so bitch, you can fast forward.
Right. Right. You could.
Yeah. So for those, I didn't flag them. Right. All those people
but
who put that in their review.
But you might miss the theme of the show if you do it.
Yeah, and
though.
Those people who did that, I put down, not helpful.
But see, this is my thing. See, my thing is, if you're going to come, it's like you said, you're watching the show on Netflix, you know what, and you've arguably paid maybe 50 cents.
Maybe. Right.
Because you gotta be watching so much shit that it might be less than that.
Right.
So, like you said, the people there paid. It's like the two things on the Chappelle, like he's in the Belly Room here in LA.
Right.
And he's in someplace in DC. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know what? I find it interesting because, again, what Chappelle was saying in the second one, he's about this brutal spirit.
Right.
You know, it's that when black people talk about white people, the stuff that they observe about them, that white people don't recognize about their own shit, that's not always funny to them.
Right.
It's not.
Because they're not used to being addressed in a way. They're not used to being dressed as the other.
Right.
As the marginalized, the minority in the room.
Yeah, and that shit is funny. that shit, the way black people, it's like I mean, this is my joke in the first one where he says he's at some kid's house and he's like, Timmy says, can you come over to have, Dave, do you want to have breakfast? I mean, dinner with the house? And he's like, no.
I don't want to have dinner in your house.
No, he's like, no, because in my experience,
the food has not been very
good. Yes, my food is not that. It's exactly what he said.
But then they said they're going to have stovetop stuffing. And he says, hold on a minute now. Let me call home. I have never had this elusive.
But he's a lucky kid, so he got to ask.
But here's the thing. When you come from like a poor or working class background, it wasn't like he came from a really rich background. Like, I think middle class, because I think his mom was a teacher and stuff like that. There are certain foods that you see on TV. And I remember this, because I remember seeing those commercials of stovetop stuffing.
That was the shit.
And when you come from communities like you're not used to having that, certain it's like Kraft mac and cheese. Right. If you're used to having your mom dad making their own mac and cheese, you know,
brick of
it's like some fancy thing, and it's not. I mean, when you grow up and you realize this is some bullshit, but it's like
a box.
Yeah,
some powder,
a box.
And some noodles.
But it's no different than when you want to have McDonald's and your parents are like, we can make hamburgers and here.
Now
it's
you
not
know
the same.
Your hamburger is way better than
it's not the same. The taste is different. different. It's the excitement of it. So I was really tickled when he said, whoa, wait a minute. They're having stone. Hold on a minute. Let me call home. Wait a minute.
But that's the first one of the Dave Chappelle thing.
No, that's the second one.
No, that's the first one.
Is that the first one?
Yeah, because it's the big show, and then the other one's a small
intimate room. It's a small show.
So maybe I did watch the first one.
So you did watch the first one, yeah.
But toward the middle, he goes in on a whole transgender thing.
Okay, he did. I thought he did it again. Like he apologized. I thought it was the second one where he apologized about it. Because he says in the one, he says, I know in my first special,
people said blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
From last summer. There was one last summer.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the one last summer.
Yeah, that's what I didn't see either. Okay. Yeah. So that's the one, talking about Timmy and everything. I mean, that was funny. That whole thing was funny.
Right.
You know. But yeah, but white people don't want to hear that. They don't want to be joked at.
Well, they don't even admit the fact that
they
can't be racist. They don't buy it.
Yeah.
I had to explain it to my husband, Howard. He's like, that don't make any sense to me. If he's racist, he's racist. I said, no.
No, see, there's a difference. There's a difference between being a bigot and being racist.
Right.
See, a bigot could just not like you because you're white or you're black or you're Latino. Racist means I can put my foot on your neck.
Right.
And make things difficult
and make
for
life
you.
Difficult and not, for you.
Like, you know, it's interesting. There's this woman I was listening to on the radio.
Now, black people, we could be prejudiced because I'm prejudiced a whole lot of shit.
All the time.
And y'all hear most of it on here all the time.
But you know, it's like, for instance, there was a woman who she's on the radio yesterday or on Friday. She was one of the people with the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She grew up in Van Nuys, and she was saying one time, she happened to meet and become friends with the daughter of her landlord. And she was at this guy's house and they were talking and the blah, blah, blah. And she goes, and the father said to her, so what's your name? Blah, blah, blah. She's like, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, I know that name. Yeah, because they live in my, in these buildings that I owned. Oh, yeah, cool. And she was like, this is the motherfucker.
Hmm.
Who makes my family's life hard?
Interesting.
You know, because he didn't even realize it or didn't care. She was like, because the appliances don't work all the time. Mm-hmm. They're late with bringing in with the vermin spraying.
And that shit is perfect.
That shit's fucking up my life. Mm-hmm. And you appear, you know, saying it just with no sense of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I think that. Yeah. You know.
And let me clarify, my prejudices. are very succinct. Like I don't trust people. I have a prejudice against people who don't like horror movies. I have a prejudice against people who don't like really good food, who don't eat outside of their own comfort foods, who can eat some other experienced foods. My prejudices are very, very, very well rounded.
I don't even eat black comfort food that much. It's very rare.
Yeah,
it's very rare. I love eating food from every place else.
Interesting.
It's so. It's like what are you doing?
I say I might take you to CJ's.
You know. Yeah. No, I have it, but I prefer, like, if someone said, what would you have? Would you rather have, like, you know, some chicken and waffles, or would you want to go to, like, maybe get some pho? I'm like, oh, let's get the pho.
Because you can always get chicken and waffles.
Yeah, I was like, oh, let's get that, because it could be anything,
right?
You know?
But you got to be careful with pho, though. Some places, they be like, they make it for, like, gringo taste sensibility.
Yeah,
so
you
got to find like the authentic. Somewhere. Like, yeah. I want to see someone's Vietnamese grandmother in the background making sure she's putting her foot in this food
exactly
before I eat it. Like, who's back there? Because there's a spot I go to in Riverside. It's like, I know who's back there. The food's gonna be legit. It's not gonna be no watered down. Like, oh, let's get the cute little noodle things that make some people happy. It's like, no, I want the real food. Yeah. I want your real food. It's like when I watch foreign films. I don't like watching dubbed shit. I want to hear the people's language. I want to hear how a motherfucker.
Yeah, because the sound. That's the thing. Yeah, because it's like, I remember what his name was saying this one time.
I don't want to hear an American voice coming out of a
who's Jeff Bridges,
German show.
Jeff Bridges' brother.
Oh,
You know, his brother, whatever, Jeff Bridges. Bo Bridges. He was talking one time and he was like, you know, this is what the thing about acting is, that it's not always the dialogue, even though a lot of people are so hooked up, because like, if you ever watch a foreign movie, you never know what the dialogue is, but you still feel it.
Because
what they're saying, the tone of voice, you know, I mean, and plus you can like, if you know any kind of foreign language, you see they're speaking more than what the language. He says, shut up. No, but
he's still talking. He has said more than that.
Yeah.
So Monique.
Yeah. So my thing is this. I'm not going to say that Netflix is going to be needs to pay Monique $20 million.
No.
That kind of thing.
I think we all agree.
But she's she is worth more than $500,000.
100%.
You're a fucking Oscar winner?
Mm-hmm.
How many Oscars has Amy Schumer got?
Right.
And also, Amy Schumer's kind of problematic for a lot of people. And it's like, you know, if you're going to be paying her $13.5 million and she got a movie that flopped and ain't got no Oscar,
right.
You need to be checking yourself because you need to understand the power that black people have when we're watching these shows, how we pump things up.
I would like to know what the numbers are, when Netflix would never tell us. How many people watch Amy? How many people going to watch Monique when they come out, if she ever does it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'd be curious.
See, this is what I'm curious about. Why doesn't Anonymous hack Netflix and so we can see what they're
Anonymous, do your thing.
WikiLeaks.
It'd be interesting to see.
Or WikiLeaks or someone got some information on.
Because I know for a fact, I know, like I said, I've seen those comedy shows on Netflix and I go through there and scrolling through and look at some of these people and it's like, I know. I would not be surprised a lot of these no-name folk who are brand new, whatever, are making more than Monique, even though Monique's resume is greater than theirs.
Right.
I would, yeah, I think it's questionable, and I think it's bullshit. It's like, she not gonna, you're not going to have to pay her $20 million, but you got a couple million. Come on.
I think, I mean, if you ask me, and I might get in trouble, I say she's probably worth between $3 and $6
million.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm just being real.
I agree.
But you know what? There was an article... I think she wrote about it.
For her hour up there doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being real.
I think there was a, but there was, I think last year, maybe the year before, she was saying she'd been blackballed in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Daniels called her and told her that. You've been blackballed because she's like, because you don't play the game.
Right.
And I think
she didn't want to do the tour,
but she was speaking her worth. It's like, look, I got a family. Are you going to pay me for certain things?
I mean, but I think what they were sort of saying is that what the thing that I got from reading between the lines is her husband, who's her manager, is like an issue.
There's always somebody else, right?
Because like I've met some people, a couple people, I tried to do projects with really close, and their manager
fucked it up.
Really. Fucks it up. Right. And just like,
I'm going through that with a project right now with their managers fucking it up.
And it's people who I know are really talented.
Right.
And then I mean, everyone, you mention, I love him. But then you say, why is he in a lot more shit? What's the city's doing? And then you meet their rep and you're like, now I know why they're not in a lot of shit because because their gatekeeper is an idiot on a lot of levels.
But don't you think don't they have the right to ask for what they think their worth is, whether or not they get it or not?
No, but see, here's the thing. The thing that you don't know is that she might have said, well, we'll give you $2 million to do like your show, Monique. And then the manager guy could be like, oh, this is what we want to. We want to have her flown in. But in a Learjet, and you know, there's all the other perks you don't know that could be part of the ask that can make them go, well, then we're not going to give you that kind of money because it's really more than that, and that's what you don't know, and that's the kind of stuff that when there's these salary disputes, sometimes there's other perks that everyone is asking for that is not that's above and beyond their actual fee,
right. And that's fair. I mean, that's
just
fair.
To piggyback off what you're saying, Lisa, you're right though, but here's the deal. If you don't ask for a fee, you will never get more money. If you don't ask for it, they will give you the scale of scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Unless you are like a Monique. They're like, okay, well, we can't just give her $125,000. Let's just make it an even boom.
X.
It sounds like a high number, you know, to most people. But people in the know are like, that ain't no money.
Mm-mm.
Not when everybody else is getting 20, 10, 15, whatever the fuck.
I mean, look, if Dave Chappelle got
$20 million,
if he got $20 million for his special, I mean, people were shitting on him for walking in for 50 to do the damn seasons of the damn show.
Right.
But he's clearly made that up, you know.
And that's somebody who was pretty much aware of taking care of his own mental health, and was able to have the gumption and not have those people influencing him, like, no, those sycophants are around you going, no, keep doing this, doing that, where you might end up like a Cat Williams for a couple of years, wilding out for a bit, because a lot of times you want to do well for your friends, you want to bring your crew and all that, and then your mental health, and because you're so used to having so many people dependent on you and you got to do all this stuff gets a little sketchy, and, you know, you may end up, you know, dead or, you know, strung out somewhere and having some issues. And the fact that Dave was able to like walk away and like, no, I know what I'm worth and I'm going to walk away from that. Mm. I will always respect him for that because it's like he took care of himself and the dude looked healthy.
He looked great. Yeah, he's working out.
He's getting working all out. He got all swole.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then he's making up. And so I think it's a testament to those of you who, you know, are out there, especially those people who are doing really well. It's like sometimes you got to just, you know, stand for your worth and understand what you want.
I'm sorry. Did you notice in the second special, the second special that we saw, he's smoking with that.
The vapor.
But in the first one, he's smoking with a cigarette because he did that one before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he stopped smoking cigarettes and now he's vaping.
Mm-hmm.
What? See, this is just because he was like, so the second special.
Did you tell he was talking about things from before in the second special that I think it was after?
So the one I saw when he had the vapor.
I think that was the second one, but I think they aired them differently.
Yeah, because the second one, he's in the belly room at the Laugh Factory, okay, and he's like smoking, and he's talking about, you know, Matt Lauer or Charlie Rose going down to that.
Okay.
So it was real recent anyway.
Right,
you know, because he went down in early November, and these things aired on New Year's Eve, so it was recent, really. But maybe the one you're talking about, or maybe the first one that aired, the equanimity one was actually maybe even like taped in late December, maybe.
Possibly.
Well, anyway, those two things, you know, in terms of pay equity, in terms of in particular black women, like asking for their worth and being talented and not getting the same.
And respect. You know, what I was thinking about was, had Tracy Ellis Ross been on a cable show, I'd have been like, yeah, they probably can't quite afford more than $200,000 an episode.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is prime time ABC, which is where all the stars make $1 million, and
yeah, I'm saying, and
I'm
saying,
like, because when that's she was, I'm like, that's
because
suspect.
She went when she did Kelly Griffith's show, Read Between the Lines. Yeah. I'm pretty sure with the beat, was it BT?
Yeah,
they probably weren't making as much as they would have gotten, and she was able to. But it's like, you know, networks got money. And you pay people who have successful shows.
But you know, they probably played her because they said, well, you're kind of a BET, so what does give you...
It doesn't matter. She's already got a Golden Globe, and she's getting Emmy nominations, and Emmy nominations means advertisement, means people are looking at you. That means you've got a platform, so you pay her what she's due.
That's true. I know she's not getting her money's worth. I mean, she's not getting paid for what she's worth. I mean, it's evident on a lot of this.
Tracy,
levels.
If you need me to roll up some people.
But I just feel like, holla. You know...
It's interesting we're talking
I remember hearing from a couple, some people say who worked on BET shows that when they would come to the networks and stuff like that, the major networks, the people would act like you haven't really done anything. You haven't written anything.
Remember Kelly had the issue. Right.
Yeah, Kelly said that. She was saying, I mean, like when Kelly had done the 100 episodes of the stuff for
Tyler Perry,
they were like, yeah, but that's not real. So it's not real.
Okay.
So basically discounting.
Yeah.
Not really. Not to our standards. And that's just like, again, part of the Nick Attacks, because it's just like, yes, look, that's the Tyler Perry shows. There's actually more.
They were making money with those shows.
There's probably more pressure because he was like, I'm bankrolling this. I gambled with this CBS and said that we're gonna that we'll deliver you 100 episodes at once. So there's this whole thing of like you don't even know if what you're doing is actually even.
He didn't even know what he was doing.
It's going to work. It's even going to work because it hasn't aired yet to know, oh, we got to make tweaks because you know how it is with a show. Right. You put it on. The back nine is always a little different than the front nine. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the second season is always, you know, because they're hearing response, you know, and they're not even getting that. So it's too bad.
Well, two things.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to get you guys catched up on what we can talk about again because I would love to get the
we can talk about
the clothing, the woman who does the clothing for it, Star Trek Discovery.
Right.
Love it. Okay.
Shout out to Wilson Cruz.
Wilson, the last time you hear, I think he was just on that doctor show with Octavia Spencer.
Right.
Was it the red something?
Yeah. That was,
that's a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of our first episodes.
Our early episodes.
In the first 20.
Yeah, and we had Wilson on. It's like you know, a lot of good things were happening for him then, but I am so thrilled that he's on Star Trek Discovery. He is amazing on the show. Now, I do have my quibbles with the show, but I want to get enough people to watch it and get their opinions on it. But I love it. Like, it's one of those
online CBS.
It's CBS streaming. Now, for those of you like me who don't feel like doing one more streaming thing, because I already got Netflix, some of us already got Amazon Prime, I will tell you this: CBS streaming does give you a week free. So you can watch it. So what you can do is wait for the whole season to finish up, watch it for free for a week, and then cancel that bitch. Because that's pretty much what I did, you know. But I think it's like the special effects, the storyline. It's a little bit darker in terms of the Star Trek universe. Right. I mean, not dark in a horrible dark way, but it's a little bit more, I don't know, more realistic. They do have kind of a Game of Thrones thing going on in terms of people dying. Getting got when you least expect it. But I mean, I think the show
is mature. Is that what you're saying? It's more mature.
I don't want to say if it's more mature, because that implies that the old Star Treks were like immature, a little.
No, but what I'm saying, for instance, you know, like I would say,
but the old Star Treks were for everybody.
It's a little bit more real. Oh, well, maybe mature might be the right. It's a little bit more realism. A little bit, yeah, maybe it is a little bit more true. It's a little bit. It's less.
Like, it's not PG, it's PG-13.
Yeah, it's definitely okay. PG-13.
Okay.
But it's just such a good show, and it's just got so many great, engaging actors on. And like I said, Wilson is fabulous on there. I won't talk about the storyline that's happening right now, because I'm hoping they clean that up and fix it before I have to go off. But, oh my God, Michelle Yeoh, and they got this wonderful twist towards the end of the season that is amazing. You guys saw me tweeting about it on Twitter when I showed you that picture of Michelle Yeoh.
So you watched the whole season?
Fabulous. I'm not the whole thing. I think I've watched all the way up to 11. And I'm mad because they said that the Sunday night episode was supposed to drop at 5:30 Pacific time, and it did not.
How many are there?
13?
Probably maybe 13 episodes, and then they got picked up for a second season. So I think I only have a few more.
They weren't going to do Star Trek for one season.
Yeah, so I think there's like a few more episodes that are coming out, but I've watched all the way up through 11, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. It is well done. Sonequa Martin-Green is amazing. She's so, oh my gosh, she just adds so much to it. And I might be a little bit more.
Did you know she auditioned for Michonne?
I believe it.
And they ended up not giving it to her, but she was so good.
They brought her back.
The casting director said, we need to write something for her. That's where that came from.
Yeah, we're going to create something. I believe
you
it.
You noticed she came in the same season when she came in.
Yeah. And I liked her character a lot, but I didn't want to hold on her too long because I knew they're going to get got. Because Michonne's such a huge thing, and any other black character on there was going to get got. Right. So my love for her was very, very soft and very quiet because... And, but she lasted longer than I thought she
went out the way everybody should go out there.
Right.
I like the fact that when she, you know, that when they, you know, the premiere this year, walking that she came back to like talk and just like, you know, they gave her a lot of love for like that. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, you're on the new show, but we still.
Oh, and she's amazing. And this is so worth her not being on. Like, yay.
Now she's the top of the call sheet, right?
Yay. She's the star. Like, she is the show.
Yeah.
And her character is so complex. And she's just such a fat. I never get to see black women play these kind of characters. First of all, she's raised by fucking Vulcans. So she's a black Vulcan adoptee. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty much.
She's just a human, but she's.
She's a human, but she's like the war. She was like the adopted daughter of Spock's dad, Sarek. And their relationship, because it's interesting because apparently in this universe, Spock is like a few years younger than her. Mm. And there's this whole thing, I'm a little spoilery, so close your ears if you're not ready for it. Later in the season, there's like a scene where they talk about, if you know anything about the Star Trek universe and about when Spock was going to the Vulcan Academy versus him going to the Federation, there was a decision that Sarek had to make about who was going to be able to go to the Vulcan Academy or not. And he actually... chooses a character you didn't think, and I don't know, it's just a way of relating these two different worlds together, and it's set in the same kind of universe, except for it's just Spock at this point. Like Star Trek that we know at the original TV series is about to pop off in a few years from this series.
Okay, so is way early.
It's pretty early, and like Sonequa she just kills it. Like her character, because she is Vulcan, she's on a spaceship and she's trying.
Is she like the captain of the ship? What is she?
She's a lieutenant. Mm-hmm. And then some shit goes south. That's all I'm going to say. You got to watch the rest of it. Right. So it's amazing.
I definitely want to watch it. Like I was telling you, you know, I've been saying the last few episodes, or I've seen, I've been rewatching the first season of the, of the original series. And the main reason why I did that is because when I saw Discovery was premiering, mm-hmm. I just noticed that there's like a lot of Star Trek lore that was showing up in it that to me, I don't have. Because I told everyone, you know, to me, Star Trek is really the movies. And I never really watched the shows that much. Mm-hmm. So I felt like to be more, I'd just say like versed in the universe, I wanted to watch what started this whole phenomenon.
Well, the good thing about Star Trek Discovery is the fact that you're going in, for those of you who don't know any of the backstory, any of the lore, any of the alternate universes or any of the fan fiction or any of the books and stuff, this show, you're going in from the viewpoint of Michael Burnham, which is Sonequa's character. So she is your fish out of water. So you're seeing everything from her viewpoint. Right. And so you don't have to know anything about, you don't even have to know who Spock is or Bone, any of those
But
characters.
You got to know about the Vulcans. You got to know about, I mean.
And you learn about the Vulcans through the TV series. But most people know who that is. Anyway.
That's what I'm just saying. You know.
If you watch the movie. But I'm saying for this show, if you're purely like, I don't know if I'm, don't worry about it.
You can start.
You
can just. You
can
fresh.
Start with it, and it's just like boom. And like the set, I mean, it's just the CGI is beautiful because you know sometimes he shows this shit look janky, mm-hmm. but it's well done. I mean, I swear, I wish it was just on regular cable TV so everybody can get a chance to see it. But I figured that it was so good, that's the reason why they wanted to use it. It's a Juggernaut brand, right. And I'm thinking that's what they wanted to lead off their whole CBS streaming thing to really push.
I'm just glad they got season two. So at least they got season two. So they can't. Say, oh, we had a black woman in the lead and the shit didn't work, type of bullshit.
Oh, it was going to work. You know? Because I've seen some of the other Star Trek shows they've had, and they didn't have anybody as strong as actors as Michelle and them. And what they bring, like, there's no way they were not going to have, just going to have one season and cancel it.
I was listening to Pilar's latest show, and she has the guy who plays in, what's the thing about water?
Shape of Water?
The Shape of Water. The guy who plays the merman.
The merman,
the
yeah.
Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She interviewed him. It's actually a really good one, too.
Oh, she did? Oh, awesome.
Yeah, because he talks about, you would love it, because he talks about not having any dialogue and how you have to interpret that on the screen with a suit on.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
Mm. I'll tell you, listen, yeah, I mean, really, that movie disappointed me.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Don't, because I haven't seen it yet.
I'm not saying,
spoiler free.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just was like, there's things about it that I was it was just unsatisfactory to me. That's all. I'm not saying it's a bad
movie. He follows me on Twitter. I need to know it.
Can I just say this about Star Trek Discovery? I want to shout out, and if we can get her on the show, if there's some way, if she's out here in LA somewhere, you have to bring her on. Gersha Phillips, she's the costume designer.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the sister right here.
About,
yes, the sister right here. Right. Costume design is so good because a lot of things with the sister right here.
Okay.
So many people who watch the Star Trek universe, they're always criticizing how, you know, well, what would the Klingons and Vulcans look like? Right. What were the clothes? What were the uniform? Like, there's some people who are that nitpicky about it. I'm not that type of person in fandom. My thing is story, character. Costumes and stuff, yeah, I want it to be legit and look good, but I'm not worried about, well, the epaulets don't look the same like in episode 5 of STT. I'm like, Y'all doing too much. Making fandom difficult and stressful.
To me, is doing too much.
That's
me,
too much.
To me, I kind of feel like
too much.
You know, it's like it's the complaint I have with Game of Thrones. Like Game of Thrones is lit in a way where I'm like, I know these. You know what? I've watched the behind the scenes in this show. Mm-hmm. They spending a lot of money on all the shit. Clothing.
All the shits.
Clothing, sets, everything. Right. And it's lit in a way where it's like you got to really struggle to look to see it.
Kind of like, it's kind of dark.
It's too dark. Right. It's too damn dark. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers did not do this in a way where we can really, it doesn't need to be no lush type of, you know, like high key lighting.
Right.
But
they can just turn the volume up a little
just
bit.
just raise the gamma two points and we can see a little more. I don't know. That's just point I have with this show.
I was just thinking about how, you know, growing up in a whole mod punk rock world, there's the same dudes who feel about the scooters.
Yeah.
That feel about what you're talking about with, like, the film.
The detail, like all this.
I just want my scooter to look the baddest one.
Yes.
I want to have the best paint job. Don't tell me about what size engine and all that other bullshit.
Yeah.
I give a fuck.
Yeah.
As long as my shit goes fast.
And goes vroom vroom when I go.
And starts.
Yes.
And starts.
The brakes work and the cable works. I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah.
They be coming up to you asking all kind of intake.
You know what? And that's fine. There's levels.
How many CCs is in?
Exactly. I mean, there's levels of fandom and people who are, and when you're into your fan thing or whether hobby or whatever thing you're into, there's those people who are always a little extra. And hey, God bless them. That's their thing. But it's like,
you know, they study it to make sure they know.
Right. But don't make it where you make it uncomfortable for other people who might be new to the fandom and feeling like, oh, they can't really enjoy it because they don't know blah, blah, blah. Or what about, it's like, no, it's for everybody. That's what entertainment and things are for. It's for everybody. But anywho, yeah. So that was a couple of things I wanted us to talk about because it just was on my, it was on my spirit. And I felt I needed to discuss it because with all the stuff that's going on with the Me Too movement, with Time's Up going on in Hollywood and just pay equity and just a lot of stuff that's going on as usual. So the culture wars are always interesting when they erupt, but I just feel like
time's up.
I mean, pay women.
Right.
Their worth that is the same and equal and on par as their equals.
Right.
And if not, we gonna talk about y'all until you fix it. And like I said, Star Trek Discovery is wonderful. And last thing, Lifetime premiered.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Catherine Zeta-Jones's.
Oh boy,
Cocaine Godmother.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I thought my script title was better. Just straight up Blanco.
Right.
And it was a double entendre because you know cocaine is white and Blanco means white. So I was giving y'all all the extra shits in there. And I didn't watch it. My mom was like, I'm going to watch it because they stole your stuff. Because you know your mom, anything that sounds like their baby did something, she going to say it. But, you know, everybody knows my story about the Griselda Blanco project. I've been my passion project for years. I've been trying to get made. And finally, I just gave up. I figure I'm just ahead of the time. I'm ahead of the curve. People ain't ready for black women who are from the future. And it's okay. I can let it go and work on some other things. And it just so happened that a couple other people started doing some projects. J-Lo has one in the works with HBO.
Oh, really?
I think a couple, like last year. They're still in development. So you know what that means. If they're in development, who knows what's going to happen.
It
was like 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago when they announced Catherine Zeta-Jones. So, and it just now coming out. And I'm thinking to myself, they probably tried to get it made into a movie and they realized it probably wasn't. And they probably shopped it around and it ended up at Lifetime, even though I like Lifetime. But I felt like, for me, it was
not
a Lifetime movie. Griselda Blanco.
We're talking about Scarface.
We're talking about the original female Scarface.
Right. Well, yeah, because like the first time I heard about this woman, it was
that deserves
when I was
big
watching
movie.
When Cocaine Cowboys came out.
Yes.
Which is maybe, what, 8-9 years ago now?
Yes.
Something like that?
And that's when I first learned about her because I was down there at the theater in Hollywood watching the late show of that documentary.
And there's like, I mean, the clips of her, I was like, this is a bad
this
woman
a
right
bad
here.
Movie.
She
this
was the main.
There should be 10 movies out right now already.
Listen, I was sitting in Hollywood, the 10 o'clock showing at the Sunset 5. Remember the Sunset 5?
Yeah.
It's still there. The Limelight. We saw like the last showing of it at the Limelight. And I was with my boyfriend at the time. We went to go see it. And the documentary is really good.
Oh, really?
But
good.
The shit that popped was her. And the minute I got home, I said, let me go do some research on this heifer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started my journey.
I told you, I thought the same thing. I was like, this is a great story.
I said, you know what? And that's when I started the research. I had contacted the FBI agent that arrested her, interviewed him. I had got my passport updated. I was going to fly down to Columbia. I was trying to get the producers I had with me to try to make this happen. Like, she's alive. Right. All we got to do is get her rights and do whatever. And they got scared and like, well, she might kill you. I'm like, all right. I'm a black woman. Mm-hmm. I figure a woman-to-woman conversation.
I'll fight Gazelle.
I'm not going to fight her. I'm not stupid. I will go down there with much humble respect. My Spanish would be very, very shaky, but respectable.
She knows English. She spoke English in the dark.
She did, yes. In Miami. But I felt like as a black woman coming through there, I think that it would have been easier had it been just some random white woman coming up to her. It would have been like, look. Let me tell it the way you want to tell it.
Well, yeah, it's just like the Sean Penn thing and that woman who came in. Because
you know she was a narcissist. She has that narcissistic personality. So it's like when you play up a narcissist and tell them, bitch, this is all about you.
We're going to put you on a screen.
We're going to put you on a screen.
They're like, yeah.
And of course, my conscience was still doing battles because this is a woman who did some evil shit.
Right.
And I remember the FBI agent I talked to who arrested her, like, he was just saying she is a sociopath. She's no one to glorify. But when you a young, hungry writer, and you're like, you know what? Sometimes some stories got to be told.
What do you mean no one to glorify? There's motherfuckers who glorify everybody who's a criminal. I mean,
mainly because it's so recent and, like, the victims are still alive. And this might be painful for a lot of them to see this movie come out. For a lot of people.
Right.
But the writer in me and the one who respects story was like, I'll take that clapback. If it comes down to that, I'll take it.
It's not, I mean, the Cocaine Cowboys was what they did in the 70s and 80s, you know, and it's like, I mean, they put the Versace movie out now and, you know, he got blasted. I mean, the OJ thing was before that.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing drive-by on bicycles, sending her sons out to go shoot people at the club because you owe her some money and you don't want to pay. Oh, I'm not going to fuck with you. Right. I'm going to fuck with everybody who's coming to your club. Mm-hmm. And she's the one who masterminded the whole motorcycle drive-by. Yeah. Like, bitch, you not going to want to see that movie? With the pimp hat, look, I had the whole posters. I was, and then they were like, "No,
we still don't think it's too late."
I don't know. I feel like
you know,
it's
cool. There was
you put it on the blacklist and see how it does.
You know what? I might just do that.
There was a movie.
I'll change my name, throw it up there, anonymous name, and just see what happens.
Sarah, what'd you say, Chris?
There was a movie. I can't remember who directed it, but it was called Our Lady of the Assassins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe like maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was in Colombia. I think some German filmmaker went on there. Like, I'm going to say Paul Verhoeven, but I think that's who it is. And it was such like when he's the drive-by, the motorcycle and shit like that. It's just like, that shit is so wild. It's just, there's like shit going on down there. That, you know, as much as I like that narco show, there was stuff I saw in that the Assassins that I was like, I can't believe this shit.
Look, some of the stuff, because I remember I was buying, because I save my money, because like, I need to go to Florida, I need to go to the court and go get the stuff. But luckily, I found some services where you can get like the court transcripts and stuff. Right. There was a man who wrote the book called Cocaine Grandmother, and his daughter sells yachts down here in Beverly Hills. And she had the rights to all the tapes, all the stuff that he had recorded. And she wanted too much money for him. Like, she was asking for a grip of money. And I'm like, I can do the story. So that's when I had to go talk to a lawyer. I remember I went to talked to this lawyer. And he had to talk about rights, what I could legally write about without being liable. What can I write about if I've done some research.
She's a public figure, though.
Yeah, at that point, is a public figure. She still had a son.
Now that she's there.
She still had a son that was alive. She named him Michael Corleone. Hi, Michael. That's how she was. And it's like, there was so much great stuff. And then it was like, years later, I thought, well, maybe I'll make a TV series out of it. Because I feel like at the time, the series was the thing. After The Wire, after all the other great shows that were coming out.
I agree. I think it's a series.
I was like, it's a fucking series. But I never want it to be a series about Escobar or everybody else. I want it to be about her.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else can be satellites around her. But the shit that she was doing, like when they had the 1976, the big bicentennial, when they had all the ships, the big tall ships from all the world that would come to the United States, she was putting cocaine inside the tall ships, the Colombian ship, because she knew legally they could not check the ships during that time. She was making bras and underwear with the cocaine inside the bra and underwear and the shoes, the high heels and the shoes, and sending bitches on the plane to come through and getting that. Like, she was like the innovator. Mm. Like, you know who you talk about? Little Richard talking about the architect, the event, the emancipator, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That was her. And it's like the stuff that, like, you would not believe some of the stuff. It's so outrageous.
Mm.
Like, some of the stuff I wrote in my script, I didn't even write the half of the stuff that she was doing because I'm like, nobody can believe that kind of stuff. So I got to keep it a certain level of realism, even though the shit was real. You have to keep a certain level of believability. And people can go buy the book and say all the other crazy stuff. Mm. But it was just one of those things where they finally got it. And it was like, of course they got a woman who's not Latina. And there was an article that came out where Catherine Zeta-Jones was defending her. I think she's played like three roles where she's played a Latina.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, and she had a good, her argument was, I'm an actress, I should be able to play what I want. Yes. At the same time, you cop-blacking a bunch of actresses that could get these roles. And it's like, you know, I guess at the time people thought Catherine Zeta-Jones was a big name enough to do it. I mean, I don't know if y'all seen the post of her. She don't look nothing like what's her name. And you don't have to, but it's like, I don't take it. I don't believe her. As
she's drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah, well, not even that, but it's just like, I don't believe you. Like, I see that, and I feel like, for me personally, I feel like that role needs to go to somebody that you don't know.
I always have the philosophy, and she has a point. You're an actor, you should be able to play whatever. It's like us being writers. Like we talked about Paul. He should be able to write, you know, the Black 22s because it's a passion project.
Right.
Not because he's a white dude and it's a black story.
Right.
So I agree with it on that point of view. But I think that when it comes to being an actor today, you should audition everybody and see.
Right.
She's going to produce it regardless.
Right.
She should at least see Is there any talented young Latino?
Yeah, and the argument is we have to have those opportunities for those young because we never get to have that. That's why you have all these white women who are out here who have these long careers, even though they're going through the same struggles as other women of color trying to get parts, yet you are still getting the parts. And a lot of these actresses who would need the experience and stuff, a lot of them are losing that prime time to make stuff, and then it's too late for them, and then they can't.
Well, you know, I mean, I've heard people say a lot about this, about like the Me Too movement here in Hollywood, is that, you know, it's not outside of Lupita Nyong'o, I don't know of any black women who've come forward like on this, and I'm sure it happens. You know, probably
not in a big way. That for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not exclusive to high profile white women,
of course.
But they're the ones who've claimed the movement, rightfully so, because we wouldn't hear about it otherwise.
Because there's a potential for them, even though they come out, there's a potential for them to still work because they're going to get the sympathy and they're going to be like, oh, let's go back and do this.
Well, yeah, plus it's all the beloved actresses who are you hear and say this about, you know.
And Gwyneth, there are a lot of them who already had that career longevity. So if anything was to pop off, it's not really going to hurt them that much.
Yeah.
And I just feel like women of color are just not in that position to do that.
Because you have to know Halle Berry has had some shit happen.
Oh, my God.
And she hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for that book.
I mean, there's a story about, I mean, think about the story you heard when she was doing Catwoman with Sharon Stone. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was the story.
There was some story I heard where like Sharon Stone was really angry that this black woman is still looking pretty at this age and like and tried to actually harm her in one of the scenes. Yeah. Like try to disfigure her. And maybe it's not true, but then again, you know what? These stories you hear about that you think aren't true. Well, we didn't think this about Harvey was for a long time.
So now everybody going to think everything is true.
Okay. Yeah, like,
you're going to have to now because if you hear a story a lot, from a lot of different sources.
Especially from sources who have nothing to gain.
Yeah, then...
From anything.
I mean, you hear... The Harvey stories, I used to hear them all the time.
Right.
I'd be like... From people who are like, you know what? You don't work at a company, you did a movie, but you heard a story. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And different sources... So, you know, maybe it's tweaked a little bit, but the underlying truth to what's happened. Mm. I don't know.
Anywho...
That's what's up.
So that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. So those of you who watch the Cocaine Godmother, mm-hmm. hit me up on Twitter and let me know how it was. I mean, eventually I'll probably watch it to see, because I'd be really curious to see what angle they took it at, what parts of her story they told. Because it's always interesting seeing how different people can tell a different version of the same story that you're writing.
I was just thinking about, because I know when Lance Black did that, what was it, When We Rise?
Mm-hmm.
Series or whatever, they had Sylvester in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it just to see what they did, and I was like, oh, they didn't really do nothing with them.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I didn't feel like any threat or anything like that. I mean, I love Lance, and I just was not the best thing I think you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just... It was one of those,
and then this happens. Yeah, and just like with any other major public figures, there have been movies done to death on a lot of people, historic figures, Wyatt Earp, Billy the Kid, that kind of stuff gets told over and over again. So I'm thinking
I still think yours has legs.
I'll sit in the cut for a little bit. I'll see, it just lets this kind of die, because I don't want to have the same, like depending on what the numbers for Lifetime are, what they determine when success is.
Did you ever change the ending you were going to do? You were going to do something to
it. Yeah, because she got killed.
Right. Did you fix it yet?
Yes. Yes, I have to change that up.
Let's put it on, man. Let's see
to. Yeah, you know what? I might just put it on the blacklist. Like I said, I'll change the name on there. I'll put a different little name on there and different title and see what happens. But yeah, I have to change the ending because she went out to go shopping with her daughter-in-law and got gat out in the street. And I was like, note to self, let me change that ending real quick because it's totally different. Because that was the great thing at the end is everybody else got in jail or killed and she was still out there alive. And then she got killed. And then it was like, damn it.
Yeah,
change that whole wind.
It's wild.
Anyway, where you at?
I go last.
Oh, okay. That's right, you go last. Where you at, Chris?
I'm at Unauthorized CBD on Twitter and Instagram and at DerekBrothers.com or ShadowboxerCinema.net.
Sweet.
Where you at, Lisa?
What fresh hell is this? Twitter. I'm going to be heading up my, I'm going to put my old blog page up. and start. I know, but it's not putting it back up. It's just unlocking it. My WordPress thing, like unlock it and just changing some things around, because it's like a lot of good stuff that's been going and kind of observations, things I think I need to write about that don't fit on Twitter that need to be said in a longer form and stuff. So yeah, you can always find me on Twitter out there in them Twitter streets.
I'm thinking about doing a blog about, because people have talked, we've talked before about if I was ever write a book, I'd write a book probably about maneuvering Hollywood over 40, because there's not one, you know what I mean? So I'm like, maybe I'll just do a blog just to talk about it, just to get this interest in that.
Right.
See if there's anything stirring that way.
Could get you a book deal.
You know what I mean? I'm thinking about it. I just don't know when I'm going to make time to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about it. You know what, Chris, what you got to say?
That's it.
Why are you looking all crazy?
Oh, I'm just
he looking with his chest out, like he about to
like he gonna pop somebody gonna in the face.
He gonna say something, look, like say it again. Say it one more time.
I'm just crazy today. That's all.
So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. I am Hillary DeGast. You guys can find me on on Twitter.
What? Cool.
You can find me on Twitter at Hillary DeGast. You guys can follow the show. Shut up, Lisa.
Oh, at one more thing. Sorry, I'm gonna interrupt you anyway. Hey, Godzilla fans.
Oh boy.
On Netflix, they got the new anime Godzilla thing on there. It's really good. It's like Godzilla Planet of Monsters.
I was close to taping it too.
It's really good. Taping it.
Well, you know, puts in the
No, it's good. It's good. I watched the first episode. It's like an hour. I think each episode like an hour and 16 minutes. It's really good. It's pretty intense.
Is it animated? It's animated, right?
It's animated. Okay. Animation is really good. Right. So it's like, watch it. It's really good. I don't know how many episodes it is, but I'm really impressed with the first episode. It's pretty intense for Godzilla. And Godzilla is badass in this thing. So shout out to the Godzilla fans.
Okay, cool. Follow the show, Screenwriters RR on Twitter. Any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, shit like that. A lot of good shit going on this year. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be good.
It's 2018. The year.
We're going to be like Gloria Estefan. We're going to come out of the dark.
Okay.
last year was a fucked up year. I'm sorry.
Hey, 2017.
Wasn't it, Chris? It was a hard
2016
year.
Was horrible, but 2017 did not care about our feelings.
Yeah, we got some shit jumping off this year. It's going to happen.
We're
going to be shooting this year, Chris. It's going to happen. So,
I just noticed that Eric Killmonger Funko toy you got over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, yeah, I went to this event because I had like.
What did you get?
I had four of those, and then people stopped me, so then I had to give three of them back.
Oh, you took them from a table?
Because people left them there. They left.
And then they made you give them back?
Well, people looked at me like, what are you doing, Chris? And I was like, I mean, I'm just taken because people discarded.
We went to an event the other day. They invited me and Chris. And
they only had Eric Killmonger. They didn't have no Shuri.
No, they had everybody.
No. I had Black Panther, Shuri, Eric Killmonger, and the other woman. I forget. Like,
Okoye.
You
had Okoye.
I had four, and I was walking out, and people said, Chris, what are you doing?
And I would have said, my name ain't Chris, and kept a stepping.
I was like, oh, y'all hate me. Call me out.
You don't know my name. Who?
But we went to this little event for the NAACP. It was cool. Anyway. So, everybody joining me, y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
Wakanda.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real. Welcome to the Rant Room. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Lisa Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Rant Room.